Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Hello everyone, it's Red News Podcast 127, and it's one of those podcasts I don't particularly ever enjoy doing, and I'd rather just sulk, and that has been my demeanour for about 36 hours. There's the stages, don't they? They say, you know, you get anger, you get denial, and on days like yesterday, I just switch everything off, so I've not seen one single moment. I've not watched Match of the Day, obviously. I've not seen any of the quotes. I've just gone in a bit of a huff. Think they're not going to fucking spoil my weekend because they seemed half-hearted. But I would say this, as I said, Red News Podcast 127, and Deja Vu is listed as its immediately contemporary events seem to be repetition of previous happenings, and we seem to be in a loop that we have done these podcasts before. I think we're going to say pretty much ongoing problems. It felt like a low to go over that deja vu. I'm going to say a lot of the things that I've said before, Ollie and breathing space. But there's a reason Ollie doesn't get much breathing space, and whenever more than two or three results from a calamity is because eventually you run out of room and you create the same problems over and over again. We've never got to grips with Pogba. So why are we keep persisting with it? When it's not working, change it up. And, you know, we've said, is he a gambler? And it's quite evident that Ollie isn't. Mick Sancho off, change him, change it about. Obviously, you can't counter for mistakes like Maguire's, but it was a risk playing him, massive risk. And I get that, you know, we were worried about the defence he could have chosen. I fear, like we've been heading to this from Villa and Everton, that we said a big run of games was happening and we're now in that run of games. I'm not going to say Ollie out now. What I am going to say is I'm going to stick, because I'm thinking about it, I'm going to stick to what I've wanted to say or have been saying. He deserves to see where we are in November. I think we know where this is heading. I think we're in a decline, but I do think he deserves to see if he can pull. He has pulled them out in the bag in the past. Do I think it's going to happen again? Enough? No. There is a part of me that has been growing since certainly Everton that perhaps we're in a moment where we all know he's taken us as far as he can and he needs to step down. And I've just gone, I kept saying yesterday to a few people, this might be the moment he does Keegan after England. And Kevin Keegan, it was in the dressing room, I was just reading the quotes, and it was David Davis and some of the players who really liked Keegan said, you've got to change his mind. And David Davis was that sham of a twat who fucked Eric over, but he was the head of the FA. And Keegan said, I'm out of here. I'm not up to it. I'm going to the press to tell them I'm not up to it. I can't motivate the players. I can't get the extra bit out of these players that I need to take them to another level. And I think it's just got similarities with Eric. Sorry, fucking Eric, with Ollie. I'm worried, you know, there's no one else out there that United being United will go for the shiny thing and they'll grab at Conte, they'll grab at Zidane. Now, I was saying to Nick, and he, like, sort of laughed, but when we were talking about who comes in, I was saying Marco Rose. He's only had 12 games at Dortmund, but I would hope, I'm a fucking Luddite when it comes to football, but United, if they are this new well-tuned operation that they say, should be scouting and have every top scout, whether Ollie knows about it or not, going, right, is this man, look at his background, his win record, his win percentage, 150 games, so 250 games, I think he's won about 150. Is he up to this? Is he the next Klopp? Is he the next Pep? They should be using every available bit of data, knowledge, insight to go, who is the man to replace Ollie? I feel really sad. That is the overriding thing, because I think we know the things. He's done it with decency. But I just feel we're heading. I can't see him turning it around. I just can't. And like we said, didn't we? He had to start the season well. We had to show that we're learning. We had to show that you can mix it around with these players, and it's deja vu. So I'm going to go to Nick. Admirably, has got his he's got his name on Zoom as Ollie Inns, but I'm not going to go to him first. I'm not fucking digging you. I feel like We've said it so many times. I'm going to go, Ben and Shane were actually at the game. So I'll go Ben first. How was it?
I mean, I think Shane mentioned yesterday that, you know, the first half was kind of okay. I mean, it was a strange first half, I thought, and it was quite entertaining in that there were chances at both ends, but neither team really seemed to have control in the midfield in the first half, certainly not United, but I didn't think Leicester either, so it was a bit of an odd first half, really. What was particularly disappointing was that we managed to get in front and then gave away such a soft goal when we seemed to have a semblance of control at that point in the game. You mentioned Maguire. I mean, that was just it was dreadful, really, wasn't it, on the goal? You know, the footwork, positioning was all wrong. You know, as any player should always be ready to receive the ball. You know, it was a bad pass really from De Gea, but he was so kind of unprepared for it. And he seemed shaky all afternoon. Really, I felt like he was letting the crowd get to him, which is quite worrying because, you know, it's only Leicester. There's much more hostile places you could go. In the second half, though, it was night and day. Leicester were miles better. The second goal, I think, was coming for 20 minutes, half an hour before they scored it. We were lucky to get back into it after that. But to concede straight after equalising, you know, is absolutely criminal, really. I don't think any proper football team should concede like that. You know, it's Sunday league stuff, and you know, whether that the blame with that lies with the manager or the player themselves, I'm not sure. But it was, you know, it was criminal. And I think in the end, 4-2 probably. Well, it did flatter us. It could have easily been 6-2. In fact, we were lucky to get 2, so you know, it could have been anything. So I mean, in terms of yesterday's game, I can't really, or I'm struggling to say anything positive about it from our point of view. It was just a really poor game and a poor performance. And I think generally, it feels like we're, I would say going around in circles, but it feels like we're going backwards now under Ollie. You know, I mean, we've talked about the midfield till we're blue in the face, and we know that midfield isn't up to scratch. And we know that you probably can't win the league with that personnel in the centre of midfield. But, you know, I think a top manager would be doing better with this group of players now. You know, when he first came in a couple of years ago, we talked about, you know, is it the manager, is it the players? And I think it's fair to say that at that point in time, that the first 11 and the squad had a lot of holes in it. And to his credit, he has, I think, recruited well and got rid of the right players. But now it's about turning the players we've got. And I don't think anyone could argue that, midfield aside, we've got strong players all over the pitch, top players all over the pitch. But, you know, he's not able to sort of mould that into a cohesive team. There's no pattern, there's no structure. We're conceding far too many goals, you know. So, on paper, we've got a decent back line. You know, I know we talked about how bad Maguire was yesterday and Varane was missing. But that back four on paper, you've got two of the best defenders in the European Championships, and Varane has just come with all the European Cups and kind of medals he's got. So, you know, there's so many things wrong with it at the moment. And like you said at the beginning, I'd probably stop short of calling for his head right now, but only because I'm not sure who there is to come in and replace him. And I think they've got to be looking at that in the background now. I'd love him to turn things around in the next month, but looking at the run of fixtures we've got, I think he really is in deep water right now. He can't afford many more results or performances like yesterday.
I just think the repetition of deja vu is usually, I try and make a Tony Soprano quote, or I cite American fucking Pie and say, I turn to a girl and ask her for some happy news. But I mean, literally, we have, none of this is new. We said Villarreal could be a moment that we look back on and think that was the chance, that was the moment. Shane, what was the mood like at the ground?
I was reflecting, actually, like, I work with a Leicester season ticket holder, and I was talking to him at work on Thursday, and funny enough, it was the same with an Everton lad on the train before we played them. And I know there's always an element of reverse psychology amongst football supporters, we all do it to a degree, but both times, and the lad on Thursday said, yeah, we're really not looking forward to Saturday, Shane. The attacking options you've got, we're out of form, you know, the talk is we're going to get a hammering off you. on Saturday, and I was like thinking, well, that's not the confidence we're feeling. It's look, most United fans, if they're honest, were kind of probably thinking this is a tricky tie for Ole and United at the moment, and we were probably fearing the worst. And I just think that's a bad measure, isn't it? The fact that we've got the players we've got, and we're going into game against Everton and Leicester thinking this could be a bit tricky, and that's not good at all. But yeah, I thought, like, listen, we had a good drink beforehand. I'm not going to say there was loads of football talk, but I think people in the ground, and I think that's, you know, you get a lot of stuff on Twitter, and I think most people that go to games will get the difference that outwardly, you know, most of the, if not all the fans were singing, it was a good atmosphere, I thought, first half, a good away end. You know, it's Leicester sort of support that giving Maguire loads of grief, and I thought United, you know, they've got their usual two or three shit songs, and United came back and back with, you know, a full repertoire of songs. So the support was terrific. But you kind of like, there's a big difference between what people are outwardly projecting, you know, the backs against the wall, them and us support that United have always had, really. We're not like the Newcastle twats today singing Bruce out, you know, fucking, you know, that's not United. But at the same time, at half time, and then, you know, coming out the ground, walking to the station, I didn't hear one person say that, you know, this is not going to end in a bad way. You know, no one was saying this is going to turn around with Ole. Sadly, and that might be a bit knee-jerk, but so I think the mood is quite resigned now to this. It's going to be quite a painful, drawn-out process, and I hope that's wrong. I don't want that to happen. But yeah, I just thought we were clueless. You know, it goes at all levels, isn't it? It's not as simple as saying it's just the manager, because there's players there that there's a World Cup winner in the team. There's, you know, internationals, and no one's taking initiative from the manager and the players. So it's a collective failure. So the players have to share some of it, but, you know, I can't accept professional footballers playing. Like, you know, and I thought Pogba, I've defended him the last sort of season and a bit, but he was just a disgrace yesterday. He just wasn't trying. There was no urgency in midfield. No one was pressing. No one really. I think Bruno aside, and I thought Greenwood had played well again. He's obviously been the standout player this season, I think, and De Gea, obviously. But those aside, no one really had the urgency or pressing you'd expect from a United side. So the manager should be doing better. And Ben, funny enough, I wrote one thing down as a bit of notes that we go around in circles, and Ben just said that. And I think, okay, there's an argument that you change the things you can change, and maybe a better manager will come in and do the job. But you talk about scouting Barney, and we talk about getting... I've got no faith that the football club, the owners or whoever's making a decision now, if it's Woodward or Arnold or whatever, are going to make the right decision. If we assume that Ollie does, you know, this is the start of the end, that's four botched managerial appointments they've made. So I've got no trust that they're going to get the next one right, and I've got no trust that they're doing the scouting and they're doing the intelligence that you're talking about. They will just grab a name they know and it's famous, so to speak.
It's shiny. That's the thing, Shane. It wasn't. I was being.
Taylor, Zidane, or someone like Rodgers. But I think this is going to be the start of a long, painful, drawn-out process. And I said it many times before that they're out. You know, their explicit kind of target is top four, and a team that targets top four is not.
Sorry, Shane, you cut out there. You still there? No, I'll go. But I will say that when I had a shit not stream, so I was going halfway between the radio and that, and the commentator in minute three said, United aren't pressing at all. And I thought, I know that with Ronaldo on a couple of things, and then I'll go to you, Coggy. I know people are going, oh, Ronaldo. I don't think Ronaldo's the problem. You watch him for Portugal. If you put it in the right areas, as we saw at the start of the season, he is going to score the goals. The problem happens if you don't do that. A couple of things I said to Coggy when Rodgers was making his subs, and we were almost like a Moyes-esque. There was McKenna, and then there was someone else showing Rashford his flip chart. And I thought Rodgers has been implicit with his instructions. And we're like almost, you know, what you're doing is, if you're not pressing, and Ollie said we've looked tired, and then that was what he assured us. And I'm not meaning to go back on history, you know, but I was being sarcastic in the scout. And I've often said that the club feels broken. I do not think that they are not going to sack Ollie. and I'm not saying don't because of that, but we've seen, you know, we took the torture of the Norwich game on around Christmas for Van Gaal, and it almost, we just had to peter it out. That's what happened. But if this season unravels, the toxic existence of United everywhere anyway is just going to get horrible. Right, hello, Coggy.
Hi, mate. There's no excuse for yesterday. I don't I think the biggest worry for me is it looks as if the players had given up yesterday. And if that's the situation, then all these days are literally numbered, irrespective of whether we think the Glazers will sack him or not. It was shambolic. You know, we've seen it coming. The defence, I know Ben said we've got a good defence. We haven't. You know, we've got a couple of good players there. We've got a right back who's incapable of defending, apart from one-on-one, and he's fast. We've got a left back who's very good going forward, but defensively not brilliant. So, Maguire, you know, maybe shouldn't have started yesterday, but Maguire's always had a mistake or two in him. And then we've got Pogba in midfield, shoehorned in. You know, and I know he's superb for France, but he's got better players around him. But I just felt yesterday, you know, they gave up before they started, to be honest. And, you know, we were 1-0 up, we were looking comfortably, in fairness, at that stage, and then gave that goal away, and there was only going to be one winner after that. And I think Ollie's lost them.
But Coggy, you've made the point repeatedly about clean sheets, so it's 1-19 now. I mean, that's not going to get you anywhere. The thing we've been debating, there's a couple of things. I've watched the Pogba for France, and I thought, I was almost like, fuck me. That's not the Pogba we see for United. Even with his little, you know, decent year, that it was like a completely different player. So that confused me. And I will. I never watch City or Liverpool. But naively, in the hysteria of Ronaldo's arrival, I watched City Liverpool the other week just to think, oh, our rivals, don't laugh, our rivals are watching. And it was almost scary, the standard of football. Now you look at our squad and you think they are not. We might argue about Maguire being in a 1-3. And do you remember when I laughed at Varane being a 1-4 mistake? But a manager can better coach that. Can better coach our squad, you know. And I.
It's not just Liverpool or City. You know, there's a plethora of teams in the Premier League at the moment who operate better as a team than we do. You know, and teams that you think shouldn't even be on the same level as us. Brighton operate as a team better than we do. Brentford do. West Ham do. There's 10, 12 that always look better as a team, and we are too reliant on that bit of individual magic. And, you know, I know what you say about Ronaldo, though, if he gets the service, he'll score the goals. But if he doesn't get the service,
we've got a problem. Yeah.
And that's a problem. You know, we're talking about unable to press a team, which was sadly exposed yesterday. And I know it's not just down to Ronaldo, but Cavani would have made a difference yesterday, doing that sort of thing, and maybe have cheered the others up. But, you know, we just rely on individual brilliance, and eventually, you know, you're going to fall short. And you're right. I mean, we consistently concede goals. And even if it's one a game or something like that, you get caught out.
Well, how long have we been saying yesterday was going to happen? You know, we've been heading. Sorry, Shane, you cut out. What was your point about? I think I know what it was, but what was it? The top four?
I was just making a point, like, about the owners, you know, like, I'm not saying that doesn't mean you don't change manager, but all the time they're targeting, like, their outward strategy is not winning a title, it's just Champions League football for the money and the revenue. You're never going to, unless you get lucky by exception, you're not going to challenge for a title. And I just think that in itself will sway the managerial appointment. I don't think the real top and up-and-coming managers probably want to come to United at the moment. Certainly not the Klopps and Guardiolas that they were, obviously, before they went to City or Liverpool. But So I just think it's a bit hopeless in that regard, going around in circles. And I think, you know, it's just rotten on many levels, isn't it, at the moment? That's a sad thing. I know that sounds a bit hopeless.
No, that, but
I think the point I was making was that I think they're only capable of scouting a known name who's available, which goes down to Zidane or
Shiny. I'm going to go to Nick, but
it's not going to be. I don't think they're capable of recruiting anyone beyond someone well known.
But in the bonhomie of the last podcast, because we were just fucking thinking, fuck the result, put it behind us. You know, we had that chat about is par, and now this is par. This is Ollie's par, unfortunately. This is par. We'll win some, we'll lose some, and we'll all argue about it. And this is par, unless, you know, something happens now, which I very much doubt. And the saddest bit is when you first said, we'll get it, we'll have to listen back when you actually said it, that we won't win the fucking title for a decade. And I actually thought, he's fucking having a piss take. Right, Nick, I don't mean to, should we just talk about the pedestrianisation of Norwich? Because I don't want to fucking, come on.
I'd be more than happy to talk about parties and United instead. Shane was saying, you know, they're just going to pick a name out there, aren't they? I mean, Rose is starting the same way as Bottle did in his tenure at United, and we see now that's going at the moment. I mean, I said to you, didn't I, man, when you left the game, I think it was Villa, wasn't it, after they scored in the last minute of the header, and I looked at you and I feel like my soul's been ripped out, and, you know, I felt the same yesterday, and I thought, this is it. You know, after the Villa game, I was dreading this is where we were going to go, and, you know, I thought the international break was, you know, could have been really good turning for us. You know, results were starting to go against us a little bit. And I thought, you know, maybe you might sort it out naively. I don't know. But I think if you can't sort it out then and get yourself geared up for Leicester and these kind of fixtures that are coming up, and God help us, I think it's going to start to get a little bit worse from here. And now, I mean, the only thing you can say really is over the last few games, it's everyone knows the problems in midfield. Every week it seems like we're up against teams that have got better field than us. You know, you look at, you know, when playing Villa, we came up against John McGinn, he was fantastic in that game. You come up against Decore, who absolutely bossed us off the park against Everton. He was excellent against Villarreal. Tielemans yesterday, there's a pattern that's emerging in these games. And, you know, there's this chopping and changing in midfield that there doesn't seem to be any sort of theory behind it. I mean, Pogba now, for me, you're laughing at this, I genuinely think he's in the Martial category now. I think that's where he is. He's that impact player where he's only capable of coming off the bench and trying to change a game from that. You know, he can't start him. As Coggy said, he's shoehorning him inside now. I just don't really see what he's going to offer us. If he can't show up in a game like that yesterday, or even in smaller games against teams like Villa and Everton at home, where you should really be winning those games, they should be 6 points, not getting 1 point from it. And lucky to get that 1 point. He should be dominating those kind of games. And I just feel like that's the kind of category we've fallen into. And again, as already been said, it's those moments of individual brilliance, isn't it? He's having to shoot from 25 yards from Mason Greenwood to try and make something happen, because we just can't break anybody down. The idea of trying to switch Sancho and Greenwood just seems like it's lost on all. I mean, we've got one of the best strikers, if not one of the best players ever to play in a game of football up front. He's fantastic in the air. You know, he's one of the best headers of the ball in the world over the last 20 years easily. And if you don't give him a service, he's never going to score from it. You know, you're effectively playing a team, you're never going to understand that. So I can't understand why we just seem to have this tactic and we seem to stick with it. And there's no sort of, do you know what, maybe this isn't working, maybe we should try something else. Maybe we'll use the Greenwood on the left. I know we can still put this on the right issue. Why can't Sancho be on the side across the ball?
Yes,
this is new stuff that we're talking about. This is stuff that's been going on for weeks.
Your sound is a bit, I don't know if it's your cat in the background fucking playing with paper or something. I'm gonna fucking take a pot shot at it. I'm not, I'm joking. But that sound.
I'm not really sure. Where
do you stand in? As someone who's been so defensive of Ollie and vehement. Not that that's a dig.
No. Three world-class players in the summer, and, you know, to not find a way to get them really starting. I mean, I think Varane's been pretty decent for us, you know, so far. I know we've had a pretty shocking run with clean sheets, as you've said, but I think there's been enough time now. You know, the only thing you can say is, you know, it's been a good improvement from where we were, you know, and I think everyone's always, we've always sort of agreed on that point, haven't we, really? But the Everton and this game in particular is, and even the Villarreal one in there as well, you know, it's just, it's not any better. And teams with mediocre players that are average, you know, are coming and dominating us. And that's just not something that I see only fixing anytime soon. And not without spending a lot of money. Can't see that happening in January. I don't think it'll be here next season.
Yeah, but I don't think...
The thing is, I mean, you know, you talk about not spending a lot of money. I mean, Ronaldo didn't cost a lot of money as such, but the wages do. We have spent a lot of money over the summer, and I think just continuing to, you know, throw money at the problem is not going to address it, really. You know, I do think it ultimately comes down to the coaching. I was talking with a mate on the way back yesterday, and I think the only sort of move that could possibly save Ollie now is if he recruits a really top coach to work alongside him, because he's getting nothing from the people that are sat there, Mike Phelan with his new contracts and Michael Carrick, Kieran McKenna. You know, when you look at Ferguson, the best sides we had, like 99, you had McLaren, 2008, I think it was Mullins' team. You know, we always had good coaches that actually did a lot of the day-to-day stuff on the training ground while he looked at the sort of strategy and what have you above that. And I think if Ollie needs to, you know, if he recognises the danger, the peril he's in, shall we say, then he needs to go out and get a top coach to work with him, and maybe that's the only thing that could save him now.
But Ben, like I mentioned, like, you know, that we're accused of football fans not knowing anything, but we all said after Villarreal, he needs to get a coach in now, you know, and the thing we've all said, I think pretty much, is it's the point where Ollie has taken us. We all know he's improved. He's got us to like the team. He took over, the dugout Jose. But it's what is the point when he cannot take us? And we all said, do we think he can win us a league? Well, you've got that pipe dream, you know, you wake up. And then, don't get me wrong, we could go next weekend. And I'm going to get hate of the weekend early. Anyone saying they want us to lose next week to hasten Ollie's departure, I hope you get the bubonic plague of the testes this week, because that even concept to want us to lose a game to them, I just don't get it. Again, it's the social media. Does anyone think he can turn it around?
No. I don't. Do you know something? Yesterday, if you look at that team, and I know you could argue, you know, should Maguire have started because he's not match fit, and of course you can argue why is Pogba in the middle of the field. But if you look at that team, with the players we've got available, and I know there's a couple of injuries and whatever, you'd think, well, yeah, that was probably the best team to start off with. You know, you could have had Rashford. And it was shocking. So, you know, either the players have given up completely, or there isn't a plan, they don't know what to do, you know, or they're not good enough. But that was probably the best team that we could have fielded yesterday.
Yeah, but Coggy, with him keeping with this...
I just couldn't get over just... You know something? We lack intelligent footballers.
Mm.
You know, I mean, we lack leadership in defence. You know, Maguire's supposed to be captain and says nothing. I think we lack leaders on the pitch. It was absolutely abysmal yesterday, and if there's any, if Ollie can now turn that round from what I saw yesterday, he's fucking Houdini, I tell you.
But he has, you know, I feel like this podcast reminds me of the one before Everton. Was it last October? Like, I can't even fucking remember. But that where we said, you know, we could he, and he has this ability.
But you know what, Barney? Sorry to cut in.
Yeah.
That's the problem, isn't it? Because that was 12 months ago. And to go back to, you know, the going round in circles thing, here we are again 12 months later. And we're still, you know, there's been a few good moments in between, but we're back where we were. You know, you can...
We'll always have leads. And again, I know I've said it every time, but there's almost a bit of self-loathing that we said we'd be so glad to be back at games after 18 months to even be... But that is the life of a football fan, isn't it? It's fucking misery and excitement. But if the team, after all of this investment, not fucking Glazer, emotional attachment to it, puts in performances like that. I mean, we could go on all day. But literally, you see that Pogba performance for France. He was taking the ball. He was running with it. He was almost bossing periods. And then I look at, and I think, that's not the same player. And don't get me, you know, if he's not asked, then fuck off. But we've got so many question marks. all over that pitch. But if Coggy, going back to the point of the best team he could play, if he thinks every, and I do think Fred, we're missing Fred, that says it all. But if that's that he thinks is the best team and it's not worked, game in, game out, then try something different. And I mean, the Sancho thing is...
I agree with you. And again, it's I'll go back to the shoehorning of Pogba because, you know, I don't know whether Van der Beek's the answer to our midfield or anything like that. Nobody does because we've not bloody seen him play. But if you continually see the midfield being ripped apart by relatively average players and average teams, then you should have done something about it. You know, and he hasn't. And I don't know what Van der Beek's done against him. I don't even know whether he's good enough. But at least when he tries.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. But if it isn't, if he can't play after an international break, you know, like you'd go, just try it. And I feel that I wake up some mornings with the fear that I feel like we're in a Moyes-esque, that every manager now has our number. Every manager. Because we said, you know, the Leeds and Newcastle. Leeds, we had the emotion. Newcastle had chances against us. You know, it wasn't the foregone conclusion. I just want to go back. I wasn't even there. But when you're in that pub after Newcastle, would we have fucking said, like, 6 weeks later, we'd be holding our... Not even Shane, who brings out the positives in everyone, and Nick. You both look broken.
At the end, but that's it really. I've got no love for you today. I just think, and Coggy, you talked about playing the best team there. I was kind of thinking yesterday, I don't know if Maguire was fit or not. I don't think it excuses the mistakes. He had a very, very poor game, but regardless, like, let's say he wasn't fit, we have an expensive squad. We have international backup defenders, and it comes to something that we just, like, he doesn't seem to trust those at all. Like, away at Leicester, he should be thinking, really, actually, we should be able to afford not to play Maguire. We should give him another week training, bring him back for Liverpool, play by or whoever. And it's just the fact that we can't even afford to do that. It just says to me, we've got this quite big squad, quite an expensive squad. And it just feels so... It just feels a basket case to me. And you know, you're watching a midfield that's woeful. Yeah, and as you say, Coggy, Van der Beek can't get on the pitch. It's just baffling to me. I just don't understand it, really.
But it's like
the thing feels a bit broken.
But Shane,
I do agree yesterday with Coggy watching it, the players, like I remember someone saying to me once, you know, you need the board, you need the fans, and you need the players. Well, from all I saw yesterday, he hasn't got the players. They definitely seem half-assed to me. There was something, and of all the performances, sometimes it seems a bit incompetent, but yesterday it seemed they weren't pressing at all, as far as I can see, other than...
But we've said the egos of this team now, where he could get away with it, you know, a while back, the egos are going to... I'm sure, I bet it they're already going to be speaking out this week. But that deja vu, I felt like almost like a stroppy teenager where I switched everything off just because I don't want to think that result existed in my head because I thought, I've got a nice Saturday night plan. I don't want to think. Nick... You have, like, on the stream that, so Rashford goes and he goes, like, get the ball, Ronaldo gets the ball. And then in a minute of fucking poltergeist shit, white noise, and then suddenly I'm seeing them celebrating. And I'm thinking, hang on, we were just getting the fucking ball out of the goal then. And Ronaldo's going, come on, United. And I thought, where's the Alamo? Come on, we're going to have a late minute winner. And then I'm seeing that fucking idiot celebrating for them. And I think, what the fuck has just happened? It's almost like a laugh or cry.
How sad it is that the only player that's able to give a killer ball for United was Lindelof. I mean, that's how poor we were yesterday.
He's done a couple. Has anyone got any positives?
He has. You know, you look at Lee opening game of the season, he played 1-3 for Bruno. He's done that past the Rashford before when we played him against Granada. I think he was in the Europa League. He's capable of that.
But as Shane says, he's equally a man who ducks for a corner.
I looked at that goal again today. Not only did he and McTominay duck for the corner, and then Bloody Maguire had no idea there was a lesser player behind him.
I've said this.
The goals yesterday, the first one was a farce. The second one, again, I think that was poor defending from a corner. The third, like you say, Barney, bloody hell, you know, we'd scored, you blinked, and they bloody scored again. And then the fourth one, giving away a stupid free kick. Fair play to Vardy, he knew what he was doing getting that free kick. But then the defending was absolutely shocking.
Not even Albert wanted it to watch it today. I've said it before about you being a sadomasochist, though, Coggy. You're a fucking glutton for punishment watching that one again.
I take your podcast seriously,
Brian. Well, that's what I mean. I've not the Man United world has not existed for 24 hours in my house. Just doom, sadness, anger. Sorry, Shane.
Well, no, I was just laughing at Coggy there talking about the defence. I thought some guy on Twitter said that I hadn't realised this, but whether it's true or not, that United actually flew to the game yesterday rather than get the train or something or coach. And the guy said that, yeah, don't worry, they've offset the carbon footprint by planting 11 trees on the pitch. But the King Power, because they obviously were trees, because they didn't move.
Does anyone have a positive? even just a life positive? Come on, please. Someone's got to have something.
Well, I said to you before, didn't I? My mate took his 11-year-old lad to his first away game. So that was, that was a little positive for us yesterday. And when we were walking out back to the car and trying to find positives for ourselves, Sam said the only positive I can find is that for Joe, his lad, the two goals kind of at the time meant something. So the first one put us 1-0 up, and then the second one was a great goon because we equalised. But obviously, by the time we stopped gooning, we were 3-2 down. So he got the away day experience, and he enjoyed himself.
And he got used to the lifetime of misery. The lifetime of misery as a match go ahead.
Manchester till 2 o'clock yesterday, got no time for the match.
I messaged Ben at 11:30 and said, oh, we're in the Barney Mo. And I was having a pint and a Greg sausage roll, and Ben hadn't even left town.
I will say, we're not done yet. 12, but I'm
strictly come down soon.
I'm gonna put an ad on after.
Apparently the flight took 10 minutes.
Yeah. Which is longer than they put in a performance. But I'm going to add...
That's the score 3 in that, Sad.
I'm going to add...
I think
No, well, what I'm saying is I'm going to add an edit at the end of this just to have a bit of... And now, please, when we're done in a minute or two, just switch off because it's very cockney. But I went out with a mate I've known all my life on Friday. And his point is, he was the one who was ranting about Sancho's dogs a couple of years ago. And his point that I had to start taping was, he said, do you know what? Molly Sugden, when she appeared in Are You Being Served, was younger than you, Barney. And as if...
That's a good stat. That is a good
point. So I thought, she was 50. She was 50, so that is a bollocks ending at the thing. But Nick, you must have a positive. Come on, mate. Oh, God.
You've gone quiet again, Barney. I can see your voice, your mouth moving, but it's nothing coming
Nick,
out.
Nick, you must have a positive.
No, I've got a hate, Tony. I'm going to go in with a hate now.
Go on, then.
Two hates. I've got a football and a non-footballing hate. But the football hating was from yesterday. It's piped in goal music. I don't know if you've had that one before, but I was there yesterday. And I just happened to be right next to the Leicester fans, and I'm not a, I couldn't find my way out of a paper bag, but
it made me laugh that I had all these lads head to toe in Stone Island sort of threatening to slit our throats. And then they score and they turn into fucking Black Laser, you know, the clowns are singing Hangadoo. And they're dancing away to this piped in music. And we were just like, it couldn't even put the fear into me. And it kind of made me laugh actually because, you know, I hate that piped in music. Just like, if you can't celebrate a fucking goal or a winner late on in the game without piping in music, you're in trouble. But it made me laugh because, you know, I come out of the ground and then there was this like, there was this red who's probably my, I'm going to say an older red, but he's probably only my age or a bit older. And there's all these lads giving it, these Leicester lads giving it large. And he was just drunk and swearing down the road, this United lad, singing on loop the 83 Cup final song. And he just didn't give a fuck. He was happy as Larry. And he was, and every now and then he got some abuse or something, he'd be like, fuck off. He's carried on singing it.
He's our positive magic, of the week.
But yeah, so piped in goal music is an embarrassment. And my non-football hate is a serious one, actually. I know you might not. I imagine Barney might mock this one. It's oven chips. It's not oven chips themselves. It's the fact that oven chips, you can get Aunt Bessie ones, McCain's, own brand supermarket ones, and they all say, like, cooks ready in 25 to 30 minutes or whatever. And it never takes that long. It's always at least half that again or double it. And the reason I hate it is because oven chips are quite handy. And I'm quite a lazy ass sometimes, so if it's my turn to cook the tea or something, you're late from work, you put oven chips in, you never learn the mistake. And it's a double whammy that I put them in, I trust the packet, always go back and trust the packet. And yet you disappoint the family because the tea is late. And they're looking at me going, first of all, you could only be asked to make a...
You ever thought about a new oven, Shane?
I know, but I've tried different ovens. They lie. It's a blatant lie. And it's to make people like me look a twat because, first of all, like, you're already inadequate because the best you can do is oven chips and then you can't even do them right. So, I don't know what it is. They're either on a wind-up or they printed the packaging en masse and then realised, oh, fuck, they take twice as long as we thought they would. But
Shane, get yourself an air fryer, stick them in the air fryer, your family will start loving you again.
But it's not the point. They shouldn't be telling, like, and it's not just me, like, if anyone cooks oven chips in 20 minutes, as it says in the packet, you do, like, I challenge anyone to be able to do that.
I will say,
you're doing it right, mate. I don't believe you have a hot oven to start off with. I think what you do, you stick the oven chips in and then turn the oven on.
I think we're heading to falling down moments. Like, Ollie is breaking us when we're talking about fucking oven chips. Right, Nick, have you got a positive? Come on, please.
Well, Rashford came back and scored yesterday. That was nice. I don't think he did anything wrong. So I think we should probably, commend him for that. I thought Bean won against him, plus a shit, didn't he? He looks like he gives a shit, so... So, yeah, he scored a fantastic goal. And
what about Haight?
Yeah.
What about Haight?
Do you know what's like this? We Newcastle fans, you know, wearing our tea towels on their heads, they really wind me up, don't they? You know, I know Shane's been writing about it on Twitter and stuff, and they really wind me up. It's just, I think everybody knows the reason behind it. I don't need to go into it, but they seriously annoy me more than usual. They really annoy me usually. It's a set of dibs. But, you know, this week they've really gone above and beyond to trump their usualness.
Well, we'll be covering that a lot in the mag, but I will say, obviously, I've got mates who wanted them at United. I am myself very relieved that I didn't have to deal with that and wonder how, but fuck me, we would have questioned them. And I think it's shameful the way that journalists, when one of their own was fucking murdered, are so shamefully quiet about it, to not even ask questions and to almost join in the general fucking delirium of it is just disgraceful, but we'll have more in the mag. Coggy?
The ironic thing about all that is the Manchester City fans taking the piss out of Newcastle fans for wearing fucking tea towels on their head and all that sort of shit.
It's sports washing.
They're just done for the irony, are they, City
but
fans?
That's a sad thing, Coggy. We're in an era of sports washing and, you know, where the Glazers, for their moral loss of incompetence code, you know, that you prefer them than people who are murderers. Anyway, Coggy, I could go. Oh, I feel like I'm falling down. Coggy, have you got a hate?
I have, actually. It's the general British public. Okay, and I'll tell you why. On Twitter the other day, Virgin Atlantic
put borders open November the 8th, we're flying up again. And somebody then asked the question, I'm flying to Orlando next August, what will the rules be on quarantine, on vaccination for my 12-year-old? I mean, fucking hell, we're likely to implode by then, aren't we? And then the next person said, my flight's on the 7th of November, will it be cancelled? And I'm thinking, fucking hell, you know, no wonder the Tories got in, if that's the level of fucking education within this country.
Ben, Ben, do we have a positive or positive or hatred?
I'll go with Nick's theme on the hatred. It's not the Newcastle fans themselves, but the cliches that have been trotted out in the last week about such working class. That, you know, they work hard, like they're the only set of fans in the country that are working class and work hard. What a load of nonsense, like they're all still down the mine or something. What great people they are, salt of the earth. If I hear that one more time. On the journalist thing, I think I agree with you, Lars. I think there's been a couple. I think Oliver Holt has written a couple of pieces that have kind of criticised it fairly strongly. Danny Kelly on TalkSport was very was critical of it. So there have been a few exceptions, but you know, you're right, a lot of people, and you know, the likes of Alan Shearer. God, don't get me started.
Well, and the supporters groups and fanzines. You think, God help us, we'd be dealing with this for years, you know, just embarrassing. I will say,
but as you said before, I think if it had happened here, and I'm with you, I'm really glad it hasn't, and that's gone away for us. I'd rather take the Glazers than Saudis. I'm sure there would have been a lot of United fans could have welcomed it in the same way. So,
do you know what? Disconcerting as well is I've got a new phone at long last. I've had to wait. I'm sure I've had this as a hate fucking years for an upgrade, and I've finally got one, and it's all modern, and I've now realised I've got fucking man boobs showing on this fight video call, and it's really, I feel like, you know, like, it's just, oh God.
Yeah,
it's like kick a man when he's down.
Like the age, Barney, I've got to the stage now where when I try stuff on in shops, I'm so mortified by it, I actually ask the shop assistants, how bad is it? How bad is the movie? Here's some weirdo, but I can't. But yeah,
I didn't even realise. I knew I had.
And Barney, I just want to add that didn't Shane call you and myself twats the other week because we were bald?
Well, that's right. I know I've got a beer belly.
No, I didn't say that. I said my hair was blown retreat. I didn't call you twats, but I was saying.
I know.
I was probably heading the same way.
I know I'm bald. I know I've got a beer belly, but this is like a final kick in the bollocks of a very hard weekend. Right, I'm just going to say, look, I'll go to you all quickly. If we are in this fucking loop of deja vu pre-Everton, please let it be that we were writing them all off all week and we got to beat Atalanta, who look good. But on fucking Sunday, we're doing Everton last year. Please, please, just let us do that. Right, lads, what do you think?
I would struggle to predict the next two games. I'm not confident about Atalanta, but who knows? Liverpool, you know, he has one thing you say for Ollie is when his back's been against the wall in the last year or so, he's come up with big performances against decent sides, so it's not impossible. But watching them yesterday and watching us yesterday, you can only really see one outcome based upon that. So, yeah, not looking forward to the next week. I'm not feeling confident about either game. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm a bit like Ben, really. I don't think you can. Like, I've kind of given up trying to second guess it now, and you kind of. You don't know. Like, as Ben said, in the past, we seem to have pulled these results out the bag when most needed and against a big team. So it kind of like, in some ways, it wouldn't surprise me if we got a result against Liverpool. But equally, you know, on paper, if you let your head sort of kick in, like rationally, they're in top form and we're going through a dark spell. And I think, you know, that could end badly. And I've talked about the resilience before of the team, but like going back to yesterday, we conceded a sloppy goal and it just falls apart. Like we were starting to get a grip on the game and it fell apart. And you can imagine if Liverpool get a goal early on, that could be quite messy. So I think it's really important we go at them and
score first, we might have a chance. But I think if they score first, I'd fear the worst.
Coggy.
Yeah, I mean, what the lads have said, to be honest, I mean, you know, those games could go either way. I suspect we'll not lose against Atalanta, and I suspect that we'll lose against Liverpool, but you just never know. The only good thing is this time next week, we're two games closer to the end of the season.
I mean, fuck me, we've got such
a... That's before the Europa League, and it gets extended around as well, doesn't it?
We've got...
We're still just as far away from it as we were anyway.
We've got so many big games coming up.
Cheer me up.
Fuck me, we're only just at the start of this run.
You'll be out of your account in no time for that home game against fucking FC Karkin.
Right, Nick.
I wonder how much they'll charge for the Europa Conference League.
Oh, fucking please. Please stop it. Please stop it. Nick, you'll go.
Well, Atalanta will be very much like all the other games. We'll be cracking the field. We'll be sloppy. We'll be wasteful. Sancho will continue to be played on the wrong side of the wing. Greenwood will continue to be played shoehorning on the right. It'll be very much the same, and there'll be a goal in it. And it's just the case that we get a lucky bounce and it falls off Fred's shin and into the back of the net, or does it fall into Fred's shin and fall into the back of our net? And then the scouts is with that, I'm not so sure, because again, as Ben said, you know, we've got this tendency to put a bit of a fight in those kind of games, and I'm not sure if Klopp won at Old Trafford yet. You know, he seems to come and always seems to play quite intensely.
That's Nick, season. you blurred that one out the fucking memory bank.
Yeah, but it was very closed door, so it doesn't really count, does it? You know,
it does, mate. It does count.
I'll be honest with you, I'd totally forgotten that. I've forgotten pretty much all the results from last season. But, yeah. You
know, Dean Henderson was so far off his line, he was in my front room.
he has bottled it a few times. He seems to come and play quite tentatively. You know, they really needed it more than what we did at the stage last season for them to get in top four, didn't they? So,
I think it might be a good day to intercept the coach. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, we decide when you play.
I will say. Exactly, yeah. I will say, backs against the walls, and it's almost like this does feel like a familiar out of Moyes, but we go down fucking giving them all our support, and the atmosphere will be cracking on Sunday. So, but the fear is we're in game one of this long 2 month haul, and already we look fucking broken. But all I can hope is Ollie does whatever Houdini act he has in him. But the sadness is, I joked to Shane, because Shane sometimes on our nights when we've had a few, we'd get Ollie fist pump emoji, and I said to Shane, I wonder when we'll get one of those again, if ever. God, I don't want it. It's fucking horrible. I don't want to end it like this. Sorry.
If you want to end it on a positive, because yeah. I think you're saying is that we're all expecting to get beat off City and Liverpool, so it can't get any worse, really. So, you know, if we manage to get a point, we can celebrate, and that's when you can have your Ollie fist pump.
Yeah. To the Ollie fist pumps on Sunday. Cheers, lads. Thanks for coming on when none of us want to do this. Cheers all, and take care, everyone.
Cheers.
All
right.
See you later. Cheers. Thanks for sorting this, Ben.
If you think glasses cost £400, you pay £400, but they don't.
Right, James.
£2.
How long have I known you?
42 years. 48 years.
48 years, I was thinking. Right, so just tell me. This is your second podcast appearance.
All right, good. About a more challenging subject than fucking you sandwiches.
You were watching Are You Being Served?
I was watching Are You Being Served.
Why?
Well, just because it was on, and when I do the flick through, if I get to Dad's Army or anything gold related, I stop. It's an instant hitter, but the dawning realisation the other day, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, I do wonder how old Molly Sugden is in that. And it turns out, I've just quickly googled her age, worked out what series it was, because they handily put it on there in brackets, and in that episode that I was watching there, my jaw dropped to the floor, because Mrs. Slocum was younger than me. Fucking rock my... gone. That was a real painful moment.
So you said, next it'll be what?
Yeah.
That you know...
Well, next it'll be Peacock, wouldn't it? And this is the slow decline Honestly, Mike Berry's already out the window. Haven't. Wendy Richard, not even close. I'd be knocking on Molly Sugden. And I'd be fucking lucky.
I haven't watched an episode since it was purgatory, no, honestly.
It's remarkable. Oh. It's remarkable.
Right, so we've been having a thing. No football, because we're all footballed out.
We're all footballed out.
Your three greatest TV series. So people have been saying Sopranos, Gomorrah Lakes. Now, because of your, what would we call it?
Don't know.
If it was
insular,
no, like, pathetic, there's different types of sexual perversions.
I'm not brought to the boil, boy.
No, but
you've got, I'm afraid.
You've got like a TV thing, haven't you?
I like, enjoy telly.
No, but you enjoy a particular niche.
No, I don't. I just,
it's
like got to
be 40 or 50 years.
TV I grew up.
Right, so.
TV I grew up.
So go on then. Your three favourite.
My favourite things of all time on television.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. You can't put that down into three things, can you?
Well, just for the benefit of this.
No, I don't know. I can't give you a cogent answer. I don't want to be committed to it.
There are Hancock,
yeah. All the bog standard classics. Hancock, 40 Towers, Alan Partridge is remarkable. The more I watch that, the funner I find it.
Bullseye?
No, but that's see, Bullseye's a totally different issue, and it's been
cliche.
No, it's been turned into a cliche as a sort of Peter Kay skit, but it isn't. If you listen to the interviews at the start of that programme, he has people on there who will openly admit that they're unemployed at the time, right? And they're beating it by joining a club that paints postcards. Himself, there's no two ways about it. He's not looking at the car thinking, you know, attainable dream. He's saying, if I do get that over mower, I'm absolutely quids in, that's what I want. And it's not choice. The questioning is remarkable. Every single question pinpointed at any, if there's a female on there, it will be, what's your old man do? What's your old man do for a living? Does he like dance? Honestly, it is remarkable. It is remarkable. The phases of it, how Tony Green is put in a suit to start with, and then he gets more word parts, then he goes into smart casual, he stands the other side. There's always reworkings. Every single series gap, you know, and up to the BFH moment when they realised that everybody was just having a go anyway because you couldn't lose anything. When the prizes were brought into the equation, massive.
Do you know that? You know those people you read in the newspaper that they're doing like a thesis on Harry Potter, and people are being out. You should have done it on Bullseye.
No, but it's a reflection of the working populace of the day, and that it was remarkable. And I remember enjoying it and loving it then. And now I watch it, it's superb.
Well,
it's
we've all got too much these days, haven't we?
Well, it is superb. We had fuck all growing up, didn't we? I don't think it's a case of having too much. I don't think it's a case of having too much, is it? It's just a case of, you know, we were probably as unhappy then as we are now. We've got everything now.
We've got too much. We've got too many devices. We've got too many options.
Where would you rather be? If you were put in a time situation whereby everybody looks back, says salad days.
1939 to kill Hitler.
It was rough. It was rough.
Right, so come on. This is like two fucking ambling old men.
Well, it is. It's the old people's home, isn't it? On many occasions, I'm just thinking, what's his name? That geezer. The one with the air face. I can't do all that. But I do love...
Mr. Grace.
I do love the aspect of... No, but that was just... But that's
what do you love? Come on.
The other day in the tube station.
Down in the station?
I'm just standing there. I'm looking midnight. Over and I've realised, I've looked over everybody and I thought, I am clearly the oldest person on this platform. By an absolute mile. And it wasn't as if, like, you know, everybody's queuing up to go to a concert. This is like the standard population. I have arms.
Yeah, but we've said this before. When we were young, say 10 or 20s, you'd look at 50 as prehistoric, eye and retirement.
That's the one that done me. Wasn't that the stat? Gareth Southgate was older than Alf Ramsey in that last World
really?
Cup. Yeah.
Jesus.
And that blows my mind, because Alf Ramsey and me was always an old geezer.
So why did they always look so fucking old when they were...
Yeah, that's it. Well, everybody, all the girls are all the same. That's another audience.
Right.
In Bullseye. You look at the audit, just pause it occasionally and look at the population, look how ill they look. None of them have ever eaten any fresh veg. Honestly, you're not looking at the right thing. Forget the game form. Just look, and they've obviously all been invited out on a date, on a coach. They all have to wear this big badge, this big I've been at bully badge or whatever, and they love it, and they're proud as punch, and they're laughing at nothing.
Yeah, but that's all we had on Sunday. If you didn't want to watch Sons of Praise, all we had was Bullseye.
They're going to it. And we didn't just have Bullseye.
We did.
What else did we have? It was a massive highlight, still a massive highlight.
Obviously. Right, so do you want to talk football?
Not really.
No, okay. All right.
What's the point of talking about football? It's all a theme park. Who cares? God.